All right, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And today we are working with verses 3 through 12. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. I'll go ahead and start at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your presence with us, your ministry to us already. And we pray that as we come before your word, that you would speak afresh to us. Give us ears to hear you and hearts to be receptive to you. And may we be mindful to obey you. Have your way, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Okay, I got to just start out asking, how many read through 1 Peter this week, the whole letter? Great. And how many of you did like chapter 1 on Monday, chapter 2 on Tuesday, chapter 3 on... Anybody do that? All right, good, good. I encourage you, stay with it. So at some point this week, read through the whole thing. It's only 5 chapters. Or kind of do the chapter a day plan. Monday chapter 1, Tuesday chapter 2, and on you go. But read the letter. Okay, anybody memorize any of it?
I got verse 3.
Okay, let's hear it. And then I know John Mark's been working on that, so.
I think verse 3 is, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's the first
one. Okay, that's line 1.
That's line 1. I think that's the only one I got.
Okay, so good. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. John Mark? In his great mercy, he has given us... Okay, new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And... Okay. Anybody else? Into an inheritance. They can never perish, spoil, or fade. Being kept in heaven for you. Are shielded. Even though now, you might. Very good. Excellent. Way to go. All right, anybody else? Okay, that's about as far as I'm at as well. One thing that you may not realize is that in Greek, all of verses 3 through 9 are one sentence. Okay, so 3 through 9, in our English translations, it gets broken up into a few sentences, but in Greek, that's all just one long sentence. And the main part of the sentence is the line that Phil has memorized. I mean, that is the line, that's the statement, praise be to God, or praise God, or blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In our way of speaking, that's the sentence. And everything else hangs on that. And so that's where you have your subject and you have an implied verb. It's called a predicate nominative. But that's it. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then everything else hangs on that. Or another way to think about it is that he's saying, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's why. Here is why all praise is to go to God. Now, kind of hold on to that for a moment. Do you remember the context that Peter is writing to Christians who have been displaced, who find themselves strangers in the world? And we don't know, they may have literally been displaced where they were expelled out of Rome or told they had to leave their homes and go to another part of the empire. Or it could be the kind of displacement that comes when your family disowns you because now you're a believer in Jesus. Or where the guys that you used to work with, now they will have nothing to do with you. They've displaced you because you believe in Jesus. So it's written to Christians who are going through hard times, Christians who don't fit in their world precisely because they're Christians. And he's saying, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise him. Another angle as we get into this. There's a line that goes, sometimes you don't realize what you have until you've lost it. Well, what Peter is kind of doing is speaking in terms of you don't realize what you have until somebody reminds you of what you have. And so in these opening verses, what Peter is doing is he is reminding them of what they have. And yes, you're going through some hard times. Yes, you're dealing with some suffering. Yes, you've been kind of ostracized. You've been kind of displaced, moved to a new area, or displaced, rejected by family, maybe by people at work, maybe in the neighborhood. Yes, you're going through some suffering, some hard time, but don't forget what you have. God is to be praised. And so he starts out by kind of shifting their focus away from what they might be suffering to praising God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you're thinking, praise? I'm suffering. I'm going through a hard time precisely because of God. And I'm supposed to praise him? But then he goes on to say, this is why. And he helps them to see the big picture rather than just to be focused on their suffering. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's a lot to begin to unpack just in that. In his great mercy. The passage that we opened with this morning that DeAndre read from Exodus 34. I don't know if there's an Old Testament passage where we see the great mercy of God more than right there in Exodus 34. That great mercy erupted out of God's heart upon Israel when they had sinned against him. God had delivered them, brought them up out of Egypt, and had made the covenant with them. The Ten Commandments were given in Exodus 20. Moses is up on the mountain getting instructions for the tabernacle because God wanted to dwell amongst his people. And while Moses is up getting instructions on how to build a tabernacle for God to dwell with them, the people are making a golden calf to worship. And God, in his great mercy, forgave them and remade the covenant, reissued the Ten Commandments. God decided that their sin will not ultimately undo God's purpose. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, living hope, and in some ways I'm ahead of myself, but we'll go this way, then we're going to back up some and you'll see what I'm talking about. Living hope, a new birth into a living hope. The adjective catches my attention. Living hope. What other kind of hope is there?
Dead
hope. And that's the first thing that comes. And when you think of dead hope, what comes to my mind is something that you hoped in that proved to be empty. And so it's a dead hope. And so, like, if you are, Brittany, God forbid, but you're hoping in this new job, and you already let go of Ralph's. And so you're hoping in this new job, and if it comes out tomorrow that you don't get that new job, all of that hope suddenly what? Died. And it's a dead hope. I mean, God forbid that that should happen tomorrow. But how many times has that happened in our lives? To where we were hoping in something and banking in something, all of a sudden to have it come up empty. And the hope that was so alive actually proves to be dead hope. I don't know. I mean, you can think about relationships where you just think, if I could just get a girlfriend, all of a sudden life would be good. Or if I could just get a wife, or if I could just get a husband, or if I could just get, you know, some relationship, everything would be fine. And then maybe you get into that and all of a sudden you realize you just have a whole new set of problems to deal with. Or you get into that and all of a sudden you discover that that person wasn't the solution to everything that you were struggling with. And all of a sudden that hope becomes kind of dead. And you know what often happens in our society, in our culture, we start thinking, well, I got the wrong person. And then you start looking for somebody else. And it's like you go from person to person to person thinking, finally, that person's going to be the living hope. The living hope comes from God through Jesus. Well, we could go on with that, but all kinds of things that we think are living hope prove to be dead hope. Maybe one other example of a different adjective. Distant hope. That's just kind of a distant hope. It's just kind of a glimmering. When that's the way hope is, that's not really hope. That's just kind of a wish. And that's just a wishful thinking. But what Peter is saying is, in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of the hard times, you need to realize that God has given you new birth, a new life, a new start into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay, put a little marker there. Now, you could also skip that part and go to the very next thing. In his great mercy, he has given you new birth into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, that is being kept in heaven for you until the salvation that is already prepared, already accomplished, is revealed at the last day, an inheritance. Um, new birth into living hope, into an inheritance. Let me pick on Phoebe for a minute. And so Phoebe was just born how many weeks ago?
3 months.
3 months on Tuesday. Okay, so baby Phoebe, born into a living hope. Yeah? Because Phil and Kat have all kinds of hope for baby Phoebe. All kinds of dreams for her. All kinds of expectations and plans and hopes and desires for her. And so she is born into that. Okay, and so that's another way to think of it. Well, we are born into a living hope. We are born into, really, God's hope for us. Are you with me? Praise God, our Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so just as Phil and Kat have hopes for Phoebe, and she's born into those hopes, so when we are born again in Christ Jesus through the work of God and the Spirit, when we are born again, we are born into God's hope for us. And that's what makes it living. And then Phoebe is born into an inheritance. Whatever Phil and Kat have, the day will come when that belongs to Phoebe. And she is born into that inheritance. I know, that's kind of a morbid thought at this point. But part of being a parent is being able to pass things on. And so, not only do you have this hope that she is born into, but all that's yours, one day she will inherit that. In Old Testament times and New Testament times, that really had a lot to do with land. And so to be born into a family was to have an inheritance, that land that was going to be passed on and passed on from generation to generation. And so Phoebe, born into a hope and born into an inheritance. Christians, born into God's hope for us in Christ Jesus. Christians, born into the inheritance that God has for us. Now, this is where I gotta take you to to New Testament class for a minute. What we overlook, because we're not used to reading with kind of their glasses on, what we don't see so well here, that once you see it, it just seeps through, is their eschatology. Okay, eschatology is just kind of the one word for capturing their understanding of what God is doing in history. Okay, literally it's eschatology is last times, but it's what God is doing in history. And so you need to think about it kind of this way. Well, here's the trigger word. What's the inheritance? Our first thought is the inheritance is heaven. But if you read it again, you'll notice what? The inheritance is being kept in heaven. So the inheritance is not exactly heaven itself. The inheritance is what's being kept in heaven, and kept until what day? Kept until that Jesus is revealed. Okay, so here's the best way I know how to say it. That when Jesus is raised from the dead, that is an age changer. Okay, in sports, we'll talk about a game changer. Okay, who'd you get your jersey signed by?
Ryan Matthews.
Okay, he's supposed to be a game changer. Okay, at any point in any game, he can make a play that's going to tilt that game. Okay, the resurrection of Jesus is not just a game changer, it is an age changer. And the change that's taking place is death is defeated. Death is defeated in the resurrection of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus is not just for Jesus. His resurrection is the game changer that says one day we will be raised from the dead. And so it anticipates a day. It is that day breaking into the present in which the resurrection is now made real, and it's made real in Jesus. I don't think I'm getting at it well enough. The resurrection of Jesus. Jesus resurrected is not a ghost. He's got a body. The tomb is empty. And why that is significant is because God is about salvation and redemption. God is not about escape. When God created everything, God saw that it was very good. And so God sets about to save it. God sets about to redeem it. And in the resurrection of Jesus, death is defeated. And that victory of salvation, of redemption, of good creation being restored, it's breaking into the present in Jesus. You guys aren't very excited about this. If we just had a ghost of Jesus, you know, Jesus died on the cross, and then we have a kind of a spiritual ghost that makes some appearances, the body's still in the tomb, but Jesus, you know, is a ghost now, just a spirit now. Well, if that's how it would have been, death would have won. Death would have won because you would have had the body still dead. The body still decaying. The body still under the sentence of death. Death would have won. But in Jesus, God is saying, no, death is defeated. It's not simply about saving a spirit. It's about defeating death. And so the body of Jesus is resurrected. And so praise be to God, who in his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, that's kept in heaven for us. Now, in this language of kept in heaven, the more I listen to it, the more that I hear that the victory cannot be undone. The victory is untouchable. That it's kept in heaven for us. It's where God reigns. It's where there's no threat. Down here, there's still death, and there's still decaying, and there's still encroachment.